time to thrive. Welcome to the Thriveology Podcast with Dr. Lee Bockham. Join us as we explore ways that you can thrive in your life, regardless of what life throws at you. It's your life. Time to live it.
Hey, this is Lee Bockham, Thriveologist. We're here to talk about ways you can thrive better. This is episode 4 of the podcast. It's coming out on the week of Thanksgiving for those in the U.S., and that makes us think about being thankful. So I thought we would talk some about what are the effects of gratitude. It's such a different perspective for us to take, and I wanted to talk briefly about a client I had a number of years ago. He was an executive officer, actually owned the company, CEO of a company, started it from scratch, built it up to a sizable company, and was absolutely miserable when he came to see me for some coaching. He was looking to figure out how to turn that around. And as he sat in my office, he continued to talk about the staff not respecting him and how the business was just not fulfilling anymore. It wasn't any fun anymore. The vendors were horrible people. The customers were always upset with him. And he was always upset with the customers. He never had good people around him. And he couldn't understand how business had changed, why it had changed so much in the years. And as he began to talk, he began to talk about all of the struggles of the company and how he scrapped and fought and how he took that company up. And what he carried with him was a perspective of digging through, of fighting to the top of tooth and claw, and was wondering why he wasn't growing faster. And so he took a couple of weeks to unload that on me, and whenever I would try to intervene, he was not ready to hear it. He just had so much pent-up frustration. I finally said, "Why are you here?" And he looked at me with a funny expression. He said, "I'm here because I want to enjoy what I'm doing." And I said, "Are you sure about that?" And he said, "Of course I do. Why would I want to be miserable with what I'm doing?" And I commented to him that I wondered because he never seemed to have a place. Even if I tried to ask about customers he liked or coworkers that he liked or assistants that he liked or colleagues that he liked, he never could find any reason. He would start down that road and then would say, "But," and would give me the bad news about why they weren't up to his standards and weren't up to par with what he wanted. He stopped for a minute and said, "So, what if I do want to change that?" I said, "Well, I've got one assignment for you." My assignment was that every day he was to write a thank you note. For a while, he said, I can't think of what I would be thankful for. And I said, "Really? I mean, if you looked around you, you can't find some things to be thankful for, including the fact that you live in a very nice house, surrounded by very nice things, surrounded with a family that loves you, surrounded by workers who are loyal to you, surrounded by customers who keep coming back, and you can't find anything to be thankful for." Well, he thought about it and decided that he at least needed to prove me wrong. And so his assignment was that every day, the first thing he was to do in the morning was to write a thank you note to somebody. I didn't tell him whether he had to deliver the notes or not. I thought it would be nice if he did, but that wasn't part of the assignment. I just simply wanted him to start thinking in a different way. And so every day when he got to work, he immediately sat down and found somebody to write a thank you note for. Now, sometimes they were still a little bit cutting, but the notes got better. I know because he brought me a copy to see every now and then, and the notes began to be more and more thankful. What I noticed that over time was that he began to soften and he began to have a different outlook. His doctor even noticed that his blood pressure was down, his cholesterol was much more in a normal range, and he was taking better care of himself. Now, I'm not sure that the only thing that happened in his life was thank you notes, but I do know that one of the things that we shifted for him was his thoughts about what he was thankful for. And so here we are at a time of the year, really one of those days where we set aside, and probably the only day in the U.S. that we set aside just to be thankful. Unfortunately, we've let that be encroached upon by family dynamics and by shopping. And, you know, I'm watching as the stores are opening earlier and earlier. And what saddens me about that is that the shopping spree that that starts in about is all about not thankfulness, but of want, of desire, of shortness. You know, we have these competitions to get in those stores and grab the few things that are there that are on huge discounts that set us into the want mode, into the need mode, and out of the thankfulness mode, and sometimes almost in counterpoint to the attitude that I hope we carry into that day. So Thanksgiving is upon us. And so I thought it would be good for us just to talk some about what does it mean to be thankful and why is that important. First, let's talk about what it's not. Thankfulness is not indebtedness. It's not a gratitude that you owe somebody something because of something they did to you. That's not really a sense of thankful or of gratitude. You know, if I feel like I owe somebody something, it's kind of almost the opposite of being thankful. And sometimes in families, particularly, we get that twisted around where sometimes we expect that somebody ought to be in gratitude for all that we did for them. And what we're really talking about is they should be indebted to us for what they did. I've had a couple of families come into my office where the parents said, "You owe me for how I brought you up as a child. You owe me, and I want you to take care of me." And I realized that what they were operating from was not a place of gratitude, but of indebtedness. And that's part of the antithesis of when we really think about gratitude. So what is gratitude? It's about being thankful for something. Often it's about being thankful for something that probably you didn't fully deserve, but it's a sense of being thankful. I am full of thanks for that peace. I am grateful of this. Now, it's really a state of mind, right? It's inward. It may not even have an outward expression. When we do random acts of kindness, it's kind of reaching out into the world and showing our gratitude to the greater world in outward acts. But gratitude is internal. A sense of gratitude is something that we don't necessarily have to hook into in any way that involves anyone else. We can sit and think about what we're grateful for and change our internal thought structure without saying a word, in complete silence. Many people find that their prayers, when their prayers are prayers of gratitude, shift their internal structure. In our religious practices, I think we can look at it as whether we have an approach of thankfulness or of request, of gratitude or asking, right? And those are two different approaches we have in our religious life, our spiritual life. And I would bet that you find much more of a place of a shift to a higher position, a higher vibration when you move from a place of gratitude rather than a place of request. And so gratitude is that internal place where we are aware of that for which we are thankful. Often it represents something that we recognize we did not earn. We may not even feel like we deserve, and yet it's right in front of us, as opposed to the places where we are requesting something, which is often based in a I deserve position. Think of the difference between that. When you are in a place of gratitude, you're at a place of positive emotion, and it builds on itself and pulls you away from a victim mentality and overcomes the sense of entitlement or deservedness that we often carry with us. I am so thankful for this. I didn't deserve it. It's far different than you owe me this. Now give it to me. And so that place is so different in our culture. How many commercials have you seen that start with you deserve this? It puts us in a place of thinking that something is owed to us, that there is an entitlement or deservedness that is only one step away from us feeling like we are victims. Gratitude, being thankful, is at the opposite end of that. Now, research has shown that gratitude impacts our emotional life in ways that are incredibly measurable. Positive psychology has, in the past few years, done a number of research studies, clinical research, empirical research studies, that show the positive impact of gratitude. It shows the positive impact of gratitude on insulating us from depression, on insulating us from anxiety, of insulating our heart from further damage. There's been a test where people who practice more habits of gratitude after a heart attack are much less likely to have another heart attack, just from a simple emotional tool, a simple emotional attitude. Begins to insulate the body. People have found that gratitude lessens pain responses in people. There have been studies on those who have chronic pain that find that when people practice gratitude, it doesn't take away their pain, but it lessens the impact of the pain on their life. So there are emotional benefits and there are physical benefits for doing that, and which makes me wonder about this whole Thanksgiving thing of how it's become such a part of our culture. I believe that we understand somewhere deep within us that we need that thankful place. I also believe that we tend in our culture to disrupt the processes that we know that would be helpful. We tend to find ways of really ruining the positive impact. And so while our subconscious, our cultural subconscious understands how necessary it is to have that gratitude, we as a consuming culture somehow end up moving away from the good stuff. So I invite you to be countercultural, to really embrace what Thanksgiving is about, to really embrace gratitude in your life in some very concrete ways. So let's talk some about that research. Dr. Robert Emmons is one of the researchers who wrote a book, Thanks, How the New Science of Gratitude Can Make You Happier. He says that without gratitude, life can be lonely, depressing, and impoverished. Gratitude enriches human life. It elevates, energizes, inspires, and transforms. People are moved and opened and humbled through the expressions of gratitude. Now, cultivating that thought process may be difficult, but it is certainly possible and clinically evident that it is important to do. Also, think about the fact that gratitude is really the language of friendship and of connection. When we share our gratitude with other people, when we tell people how we're grateful, it creates a bond, a connection. When my client began to write the thank you notes, what he didn't expect was the response back of people saying, thank you for being my employer. Thank you for providing this product. Thank you for persevering in difficult times. He got a response back that he didn't expect. He found out what was important to other people. Now, there were some who didn't respond at all and a few who responded angrily because of his gruff exterior before that. But he had lots of responses from people who were showing a reciprocal nature of gratitude. When you express your thankfulness to somebody, they often express it back. So gratitude is that language of friendship and connection. So what if you want to bring gratitude into your life? What can you do? There are some things that you can do specifically. Let's talk about three right off the bat that you can try to do. And there's even a shortcut that's been clinically tested. But I would always like to go for a little higher bar. So if you want to take the higher challenge, I want you to do this during a week. First of all, on a daily basis, every day, write down three things for which you are grateful. Now, you have to be specific because you don't want to keep repeating. You can't say every day, I'm thankful for my kids, I'm thankful for my spouse, I'm thankful for the house I live in. You can't do that. You can't say, I'm thankful for the sunrise, I'm thankful for the tea, I'm thankful for, you know, fill in the blank. You have to be specific. So three things on a daily basis for which you are grateful, and they can be small things. You can even, at the end of a day, if you do it at the end of the day, just say, I'm grateful the day's over. at the end of a night. You know, if you do it in the morning, you just say, I'm glad I got up. I'm glad for my cup of coffee. They can be simple, and they don't have to be huge. Don't make this the I've got to find my ultimate things I'm thankful for. It's just three things that in your life you're grateful for. Okay, so that's number one. The second thing is to write down one thing that you could do to improve your life. Just one thing you could do. It could be a small thing. You know, I could fix that hinge on that door. I could stop having phone conversations with that person. I could quit answering the phone when I see, you know, it's one of the sales calls. I mean, there are lots of things you might choose. Now, notice this. I didn't say you had to do those things. You just have to write them down. But when you write them down, you begin to realize you have some control about how your life goes and some things you can do, and it's going to be hard to not do them, especially if you choose some simple ones. But you don't have to decide you're going to do them. Just write down one thing you could do to improve your life. And then once a week, sit down and for 10 minutes, write about your ideal life as if it is happening. Use present tense. Not, I wish I had a beautiful house, but I live in a beautiful house that has a beautiful scene out the back window that in the morning I can sit and sip my coffee and overlook the nature that I love to look at. Write it as if it is happening now. You don't have to seek that out in your life. Just write down your ideal life, and it begins to set in motion a subconscious response that usually pulls you in the direction of a life that's more ideal when you name it. Now, this is not my idea. I like to give credit where it's due, and in this case, Jacqueline Kelm, who wrote The Joy of Appreciative Living, suggests that this is the exercise, the daily exercise. Three things per day that you're thankful for, one thing you could change to improve your life, and once a week, 10 minutes of writing about your ideal life. What she discovered is when you do that, there is significant clinical evidence, empirical evidence, that it can affect your mood, it can fight off depression, it can fight off lots of different pieces, even if you are to stop. She found that people, when they did it for 30 days, had an effect that lasted at least another 3 months. So take that on as a challenge. Now, if you say, I'm not willing to do that, let's start with an easy one. Once a week, write down 5 things for which you're thankful, just once a week. That is a bare minimum, just once a week, write down 5 things. That was what Dr. Emmons used in his research, and that even showed a positive impact. So then what do you do after that? One other thing you can do is to write down visual reminders. Put some things around your desk that are going to remind you, or your house, or in your car, or on your phone, or somewhere that's going to remind you to be thankful. It could just be a question, what are you thankful for? Are you being grateful right now? Visual reminders can bring us back to that place. And so a little post-it note at your desk or on your computer, a little memo in your phone that pops up. There are lots of ways you can do that. Maybe you could even say, every time the phone rings, before it picks up, I'm going to think about what I'm thankful for. It can be the list that you've already created. Just to reflect on that, you don't have to come up with something new every time the phone rings. You can just open your list and say, oh, that's what I'm thankful for. So the other thing is to change your self-talk. When you hear yourself saying, I want, I deserve, this is not fair, recognize that you've dropped back to a mentality of victim, and that's going to keep you stuck in victimhood, as opposed to working to be able to say, I'm grateful for this, I'm so thankful for this. And as you change your self-talk, what you'll find is that over time you change the wiring, the neuronal pathways of your brain, and they become automatic. They automatically start going to the thankful place, to the gratitude place. They automatically stay away from victimhood when you work on the rewiring. We all have self-talk, and a lot of our self-talk is not particularly positive, not particularly uplifting, and certainly not particularly a positive spin on ourselves. So time to change that by watching your thoughts. How do you respond? What do you tell yourself? How do you think about the world around you? Is it with that grateful place? Or maybe it's a place of I deserve more, which really is about victimhood. I don't deserve this is the corollary of I deserve more. Use those as pieces to begin to build a life that's much more thankful. And that'll get you ready to really celebrate Thanksgiving, to really have a way where your life is about giving thanks, being appreciative of what's around you. So I wish you well as you continue to work towards gratitude, as we continue to work towards gratitude, and as you work on giving thanks in your life, and I'll do the same in mine. I wish you the best. Thank you for being here. Thanks for joining me. This is Lee Balcom, Thriveologist.
Listening to the Thriveology Podcast. Thank you for listening. If you want more information, visit us at Thriveology.com or at ThriveologyMagazine.com. Remember that Thriveology is spelled T-H-R-I-V-E-O-L-O-G-Y. It's your life. Time to live it.